Blog Talk Radio.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love and covering, it's so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show.
Amen, amen, hallelujah, all praises to the Most High God of Israel. We want to say welcome to another episode of the Sounds of Living Waters. I am Job Israel of the Sounds of Living Waters, and today we are still in the research of the creation. What do you mean? We are in the third day of the creation. We are dealing with those things that belong to God when He created the earth in the out of the third day. I shouldn't say He created the earth in the third day, He created those things that belong to the earth in the third day. And this is the things that we're researching right now. These are the things that we are searching out that belongs to God, that came from Him in the third day. We covered the first day, those things that belong to God. What do you mean? In the beginning, who is God? Water. Let me rephrase that. In the beginning, who is God? Heaven, earth, right? And then those things that came from out of heaven and earth. We've been researching those things. Then we dealt with the second day, the firmament, man. And the firmament is those things that are housed in the heaven. What do you mean? The cosmos, the planets, those things that belong to Him. The sun, the moon, even the planet Earth itself, and the nine planets within our solar system, which is bound by time, eternal time, that is to say, the number nine, right? We also are researching those things. Now, we are in the third day. We are researching those things that belong to Him. What do you mean? That is to say, those things that came forth out of the earth. Well, first He had to drain the water off the planet. He said, let the dry land appear. So that meant that the dry land had to come from out of the water. The dry land had to come out of the water. And that is to say, the dry land had to come out of the water, that is to say the mountains and everything that we know and love right now. All our continents is built on a mountain. And that's what we are dealing with this day. So we dealt with what happened to all that water that He drained from off of the earth. And then we dealt with where He stored them. we dealt with how he dealt with those things, even brought them back into existence in the days of Noah. We're going to revisit a little bit of that, but we got to continue on. We have episodes, and we call those things, you know, you can go and review them. We call those things, what do we call those things? Studies. Just flat out studies. And I hate to lose my train of thought on that, but that's exactly what it is. Those things are studies. So we left those things in our archives that you can go and research as studies. Also, we are now dealing with those things that belong to God. Now he said, let the dry land appear in the sea, the trees, and the fruit thereof. These things are both physical and spiritual. These things are both physical and spiritual. So we're going to start looking at those things as we start introducing those things, as they start intertwining with those things that belong in the sixth day, which just so happen to be the earth as well. So with that being said, we hope that we're going to ask everyone, please, we hope and pray that you have a King James Version Bible first and foremost. And the other thing is, we are asking everyone to please, brothers and sisters, read your Bibles from Genesis to Revelations. Amen. So if we can, our brothers and sisters, please, sisters, if you can cover your heads as we approach the Father. And sisters, brothers, if you can uncover your heads as we approach the Father. Amen. And we want to say Shabbat Shalom to my lovely, lovely Rev, Rhea Serene Israel. Say Shalom. Say Shabbat Shalom, Rhea.
Shabbat Shalom, family. Shabbat Shalom, King Priest. Amen.
Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. In Jesus' name we pray, the heavenly Father, have mercy on our sins and allow us into your kingdom. Father, have mercy and send forth both physical and spiritual gifts upon us. Father, have mercy on our teachers, our elders, and our brethren and their families. Father, have mercy on them that don't know you, God, but the light and blessing is because they see your light and confidence on the other side. Have mercy on them and their families as well. And Father, have mercy on our children and our children's children, and their families. And Father, have mercy and send forth your Holy Spirit and give us a mind to perceive and eyes to see and ears to hear and a mouth to speak your word with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding and the faith to perform. And Father, have mercy on them that hear us, and send forth your Holy Spirit upon them as well, and give them too a mind to perceive, eyes to see and ears to hear, and a mouth to speak your word with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and faith to perform it. In Jesus' name we pray, for your mercies and your forever. Amen.
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 Amen. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my sin, for I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou might be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward part and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sin and blot out my and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy way, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God and my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. Amen.
Amen.
May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of this word. I have read Psalm 51, verses 1 through 14. In Jesus' holy mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. All praises to the Most High God of Israel. Thank you, Father, for those beautiful, beautiful scriptures in Jesus' name. Well, we're going to welcome the family that's tuning in live from Facebook. We're going to say welcome again to another episode of The Sounds of Living Waters and the things that belong to God and His creation. So here we are. We're dealing with the earth in the fourth day. These things that belong to Him. So with that being said, we're going to start this in Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 9. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 9. And when you receive it, read.
Amen.
Oh, for those of us, our family, they're just tuning in on Facebook. That's my lovely rib. That'll be reading, Sister Rhea. Amen. Amen. Shabbat shalom, family.
Genesis chapter 1, verse 9. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place.
Amen.
And let the dry land appear, and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he sea. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit.
Mm-hmm.
After his kind, the seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, and the herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself and after his kind. And God saw that it was good, and the evening and the morning were the third day.
So here we are. We're in the third day of the creation, man. We're dealing with the earth coming out of water. We're not saying that the earth was created on the third day. We're dealing with the earth coming forth of the water. And the God of Israel is blessing the earth, those things that belong to the earth, so those things can come forward so we can live and exist on the planet. This is what we're looking at right now. Those things that we consider practical, meaningless, menial, trivial, petty, all those things, including us. He spoke us in existence here in this particular verse from chapter, verse 9, chapter 9 to 13. We're in that, and we're going to show you that we're in that. We're going to go even further in that for that revelation to show that the God of Israel is manifold. His creation is manifold. We can't deal with the creation. In fact, when I first heard the creation lesson, it was a marvel to me. I mean, don't get me wrong. The abomination making desolate was a marvel. The day of the Lord was a marvel. You know, the kingdom of God being on the earth is a marvel. The Sabbath day was a marvel. But when I heard the creation was a true marvel to my ears, and it was done in one day, in 2 hours. And when I revisit that, you know, in my studies, and I, you know, and I did that myself, and I revisit those things, I said, those things were too practical. They were not, I should say, we didn't go in depth enough for those things. So here it is. Let's go into these things. Let's go back to 10, right? Let's go back to 10, and let's pick it up there. Genesis 1 and verse 10, when you receive it, read.
Genesis 1 and 10 reads, "And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he sea. And God saw that it was good. And God said..."
Now, he said, now, this is the thing. That's the only verse I want you, because this is what we're dealing at this point. He said, "And God called the dry land earth." Now, remember now, he created the earth in the beginning. And then in the beginning, he created heaven and earth. And then he had water on top of the earth. We already dealt with that water that's on top of the earth. That's in Revelation chapter 22. All right, so we dealt with that water. So we know what that water is. Now the water is on the earth. Now he's saying this water, he's calling the dry land earth, and he's causing it to come forth of the water that he put upon the planet earth. All right, so now where did all that water go? Let's go to Psalms chapter 33 and verse 7. Like I said, we dealt with those things that belong to the water. Amen. And those things, now we are dealing with the earth coming out of the water. So where did the water go when he called the earth to come out of the water? Psalms chapter 33, verse 7. When you receive it, read.
Psalms 33 and 7 reads, "He gathereth the waters of the sea together as an heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses."
So he called them to go into storehouses. That's why when the days of Noah, those waters came forth. It didn't just rain. The water broke forth out of the earth too. So therefore, he said he had them in store. They was there waiting. They still there. But he said he would not destroy the earth by flood ever again. And he has kept his word from that day to this one, even though now and again he'll remind us that, hey, my waters is beyond your control. My firmament is beyond your control. My power is beyond your control. The firmament that he put the sun, the moon, the stars, all those things control the sun, the moon, and the stars, and those things, they are beyond our control. We can't stop the rain from coming. We can't stop the snow from coming. We can't do any of it. We can't stop hail from coming from out the firmament. And he told us that the firmament also generates fire, asked Moses. So those things that belong to God, he's saying, I'm going to give those things to you, but you got to be worthy of this kind of power. Think about that. How are we going to be able to manage that kind of power with a wicked heart, an undeserving heart, a selfish heart, a heart that don't have any mercy? He's going to give you the power that's controlling the entire cosmos. He's going to give you the power to control water that waves, the highest recorded wave is 1,700 feet tall. The Empire State Building is 1,400 feet tall. That is to say, the waves is 300 feet taller than the Empire State Building. Can you imagine a wave coming at us that's taller than the Empire State Building? Imagine what it would do to us as a people in our city. We won't have anything that can stop it or prevent it from happening. He want to give us that authority. He want to give us that power. This is that thing. So we have to be conscious of that. Are we worthy to inherit that kind of power? Are we worthy to inherit that kind of power? Amen. So he said this. He said, so he calls the water. He said to let the dry land appear. And he called the water seas, right? So the waters that was on the earth before the earth appeared was called seas. Amen. So there's no such thing as ocean. In the Bible, the word ocean is the same principle as Neptune, Poseidon, Aquaman. Those things are all fairy tales. He called the waters that was above the earth seas. Now he said, let the dry land appear. And then he said, he put them in storehouses. Now let's look at this a little further. Go to Genesis chapter 8 and verse 1. Now we're not dealing with that again. We already dealt with that. We're not dealing with the fact that he had a drainage system for the planet and all of that. We covered that. Now we got to get into the fact that he said, let the dry land appear, let the trees, the seed, the fruit thereof come forth for the earth. That's where we at now. Amen. So let's deal with this Genesis chapter 8 and verse 1. And I like to bring this up because this would never, ever happen ever in the creation of man, even in the first resurrection. It'll never happen again, ever. Only two people ever experienced what this was and what happened. Two people ever in our creation, from Adam to Jesus to the first resurrection, they are the only two that's ever going to experience this. Genesis chapter 8 and verse 1. When you receive it, read.
Genesis 8 and 1 reads, and God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters to sway, the fountains also of the deep, and the windows of heaven were stopped, and the rain from heaven was restrained. And the waters returned from off the earth.
They went into the storehouses. They still there. We got underground waters, underground caverns, underground seas, underground springs. Otherwise, when Moses hit the rock, where did the water come from? Duh. There. That's where it came from. Continue.
And the waters returned from off the earth continually. And after the end of the 150 days, the waters were abated.
Come on.
And the ark rested in the seventh month, on the 17th day of the month, upon the mountains of Ararat.
Now, we're not dealing with that month. We're not dealing with those things that belong in that month. We're just bringing up the fact that this ark was on top of a mountain like Mount Everest. It was there, sitting there. We got archaeological facts that ark existed. Even to this day, we have sensors. We're digging it up. And they're trying to say that this didn't happen, but the ark is there. We have a witness that is there. Or it's been dug up. So people want to say there's no such thing as God, but the scripture is testifying that there was a flood everywhere on the planet. I don't care where you from, everybody talk about the flood. Every religion, every doctrine, every family on the planet talk about the flood of Noah. Skip down to verse 15, and when you receive it, read.
Amen. Genesis 8:15 reads, "And God spake unto Noah, saying, Go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee."
So now, Noah was the first one to do what? Leave the ark, right? This is that thing that I'm bringing to this point that nobody would ever replay this conversation ever again. Only two people existed that allowed this happened in their lives. Noah is one, and I'm gonna bring the other one up after we bring this scripture to life. Continue.
Amen. Bring forth with thee every living thing that is with thee, of all flesh, both of fowl and of cattle, and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, that they may breed abundantly in the earth, and be fruitful and multiply upon the earth. And Noah went forth, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him, every beast, every creeping thing, and every fowl, and whatsoever creepeth upon the earth, after their kinds, went forth out of the ark.
Now, what just happened? What did Noah experience that no man ever experienced but one other man in the creation? First of all, he experienced what the earth smelt like without man on it. What the earth smelled like without no inhabitants. He came out of a boat smelling like beast in them and him. When he stepped out of that ark, that was a breath of fresh air like none other. Adam was the only man that ever experienced that, ever. Because when he was created, he was the only man that ever experienced what this earth smelled like without a man on it. Noah was the only man that ever smelled what this earth smelled like without a man on it. Then here come his family after him. Now they got a chance to smell the earth without a man on it, but Noah. Remember now, Noah was on the planet, so they got a chance to smell the planet completely fresh. No smoke, no nothing, just vegetation, just earth, trees, vegetation, no birds, no nothing, just earth. Everything that was other earth was in the ark. He stepped out and smelt the planet for the first time with nothing. I cannot conceive that. I can only believe that. I can only relate to that because there it is. Let's look at this a little further. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 1. Isaiah 26 and verse 1, he said, "Now let the dry land appear." What is this dry land? What do that mean to us? You know, he said, "Let the dry land appear out of the water." What is this? What is this dry land? So go to Isaiah chapter 26, verse 1, read 1 and 2, and then we're going to skip down to 14. Isaiah 1 and 2, and we're going to read that, and then we're going to skip down to verse 14. Shalom, Israelite. Grace and peace. We're dealing with that creation. I hope you hang around and get the meat of this. When you receive it, read.
Shalom. Isaiah 26, verse 1 reads, "In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah."
Come on.
"We have a strong city. Salvation will God up for walls and bulwark."
Yes. He said this song would be sung in that day. Not this one, that one. Read on.
2. Open ye the gates that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in.
The only people that's going to be the righteous nations are not those that come up in the first resurrection. Those gates are going to be reserved for God. And those that come up in the first resurrection, that is to say, the priests of God that came up in the first resurrection. Watch this. Skip down to verse 14 and continue. When you receive it, read.
Verse 14. They are dead.
No.
14. They are dead.
No.
They shall not live.
No. Read that again.
Isaiah 26:14. They shall not live. They are deceased.
The wicked, continue.
They shall not rise. Therefore hast thou visited and destroyed them.
Yes.
And made all their memory to perish.
You only, we, it's no reason for us to even consider the wicked at this point, man. They out of the story. They don't have no part in the new plan. They don't have no part of the story that's being written now. These books, they done. Continue.
Amen. Verse 15. Thou hast increased the nation, O Lord. Thou hast increased the nation. Thou art glorified. Thou hast removed it far into all the ends of the earth.
Yes. Why? Because the law is going to go forth from Jerusalem. The whole planet is going to be keeping the Sabbath day. The whole planet is going to be keeping the dietary laws. The whole planet is going to keep all the feast days. The whole planet is going to keep all the laws that belong in Leviticus, except for the sacrificial laws. Those things are still going to be performed by Levite. Read on. Except for coming into the most holy place. Amen. Isaiah 26:16. When you receive it, read.
Isaiah 26:16 reads, Lord, in trouble have they visited thee.
Come on.
They poured out a prayer when thy chastening was upon them.
Amen. See, people think, you know, when you're going through something that God is, you know, is cursing you or bending you because, no, man, sometimes he just, you know, keeping us in line. You know what I mean? That's what he do. Now, to those that's watching, they judging you and they say, oh, man, yeah, God falling on him because he must have did this. He must have did that. When Jesus told you, he said, that ain't your business. That's not your concern. Your concern is that you do what you're supposed to do. Read on.
Isaiah 26:17 reads, like as a woman with child that draweth near.
Like as a what?
Like as a woman with child.
So we're talking about the earth, and the Lord just referred to the earth as a what?
Woman.
He just referred to the earth as a woman. Continue.
Amen. Like as a woman with child that draweth near the time of her delivery, is in pain and cried out in her pain, so have we been in thy sight, O Lord.
When the earth came up out of the water, first thing, what happens with a woman when she get ready to have birth? The water break, right? Then what happens after that? Then here come the earth, which would be a child, right? But what happened before the child break forth out of the water? The earth is shaking. The woman is having a fit. Her body is going through changes. She is sweating. She got temperature changes. Her body is doing all kind of things. That's the earth coming out of the water. That's what happened. That's volcanic activity coming forth from the water. The earth was giving birth. No. Eternity was giving birth to the earth. That's what she was doing. That's what the earth is doing, giving birth to eternity or us. Continue.
Amen.
18.
Yes, sir. Isaiah 26 and verse 18 reads, we have been with child. We have been in pain. We have, as it were, brought forth wind. We have not wrought any deliverance in the earth, neither have the inhabitants of the world fallen.
Come on.
19. The dead men shall...
No. Your dead man, the God of Israel, dead man. Not just anybody. He is, right? Those that are called the righteous. Remember, we started this off that the righteous is going to enter into this gate. Nobody else. Let's keep that in mind. Let's keep that in mind what he said. Continue.
Thy dead men shall live together with my dead body.
That's his. Why? Because he came up in the first resurrection. He's the firstborn of many brethren. He's the first one born from the earth. He's the first one that was born from the dead. He said, they are going to live together with me in my dead body, with my dead body. What do you mean? Because his dead body was changed into an immortal body. Why? Because the earth is giving birth from eternity. The earth is created from everlasting. The earth is created from an eternal flame that is called heaven. So now she is giving eternity. Man was never meant to die. Man is not going to die. Man is going to live forever. It's just a matter of where. That's the question. That's the question. Where are we going to live? Are we going to be in a kingdom, or are we going to spend eternity in a lake of fire? That's the question. When you receive it, read.
Isaiah 26 and 19 reads, thy dead men shall live together with my dead body shall they arise.
Come on.
Awake and sing, ye that dwell in dust. For thy dew is as the dew of earth, and the earth shall cast out the dead.
See, the earth is going to give birth again, just like she did with Adam. The earth is going to give birth and going to cast out the dead. Those that come up in a first resurrection and those that come up in a second resurrection. Continue.
Come, my people, enter thou into thy chamber.
That's what he said to Daniel in Daniel chapter 12. Continue.
And shut thy doors about thee.
In Daniel chapter 12, we can read that. We're not. We can read that. That's for you to research. Try the spirit. Go look at it. He's saying the same thing to Isaiah. The plan hasn't changed. The promise hasn't changed. The first resurrection is to the righteous. And the second resurrection are for those that are going to come up in the second resurrection to be judged for their sins that they committed against those things that belong to God. Ignorantly or willfully. Continue.
Isaiah 26 and 20. Come, my people, enter into thy chamber.
He's talking about his people, nobody else. He's not talking about just the children of Israel, but everyone that committed righteousness before him. That include Cornelius. That include Xerxes. People think, you know, we snoozing on that. Darius. That dude cried for Daniel. He got a good shot of coming up in the first resurrection. Don't get that twisted, man. Do not miss that form. When he was crying for Daniel and he was praying to our God for Daniel, he got a shot at coming up in the first resurrection. If he come up in the second resurrection, I'm willing to bet that dude is going to make it into the kingdom. Like the two thieves. Read on.
Amen. Verse 20. Come, my people, enter thou.
I said one thief. It was two there. One only asked for forgiveness. Let me reiterate that. Read on.
Isaiah 26 and 20.
Yes,
come,
ma'am.
My people, enter thou into thy chambers and shut thy doors. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment. Until the indignation be overpassed.
The great tribulation. Armageddon. The day of the Lord. That's what he's saying. He's going to hide us in a grave till the great tribulation is done. Armageddon is done, and then here come the first resurrection, and then here come the day of the Lord that he's going to take this planet, and all the saints is going to come with him. Zechariah chapter 14. Read on.
Verse 21, for behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth.
That's the day of the Lord. Continue.
For their iniquity.
Yes.
The earth also shall disclose her blood.
Stop. The earth is a what?
Woman.
She referred to the earth as a her. That's why she can give birth. That's why the woman is looked at as the earth, and a man is looked at as the sun. The earth, the woman is also looked at as the moon, right? The earth is going to give birth to the righteous. They got to come out this earth forever. They're going to come out of the earth forever. The earth is a woman. She's going to give birth to the righteous. That's why he said, let the dry land appear. Why? Because a woman, when she give birth, the water has to break. Here come the child out of the earth through the water into now, the present. The earth is a woman, and she is going to give birth to the righteous. Read that again.
Amen. For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth. Oh, let me go to 20. Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers and shut thy doors.
I need you to read louder, baby, please.
Okay.
All right. Read 21. Read 21. That's good.
Isaiah 26 and 21.
Yes, ma'am.
For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain.
Ain't that the truth? Why? Because the righteous were slain in the earth. We got martyrs that's in the earth right now waiting on the first resurrection. That's what John will show in Revelation. He was saying that, you know, there was voices up under the altar of God said, how long shall we not be judged? The earth is no longer going to cover her slain. What do you mean? The first resurrection is going to take place. It is going to take place. It's going to happen. Why? Because the earth is going to give birth to the righteous. What do you mean? Because the righteous did what? Bear fruit unto life. Oh yeah, we finna get into that. We not listening. We so speedballing, man. We speedballing through the word of God, and we should really be paying attention. Or, you know, guys like myself who say, hey, take a pause, look at this, look at that. You know what I mean? That's all good. We ain't saying we the end all be all of everything that you study at. We're not saying stop here and we it and we the end of the plan of God. No, man, we say, hey, pay attention to what you're reading. Listen at what God is trying to say to us. Genesis 3 and 17. Genesis 3 and 17, when you receive it, read.
Amen. Genesis chapter 3.
This is after Adam sinned against God, right? So he already blew on Satan. He blew on Eve. Now he's blowing on Adam because he listened at his wife, right? But listen at this conversation, because the earth got to give up the dead. Listen. Read on.
Genesis 3 and 17 reads, and unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake, and sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life.
Now, he's not talking about the physical ground because he cursed the earth that Cain. He said, it will not yield for her fruit unto you, Cain, right? But he said this. He said, curse is the ground for your sake. That's everyone that came from it. That means we're all going to have sin in us. This is this conversation. Read on.
18. Thorns also and thistles shall they bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field.
He said this. He said, thorn and thistles are going to bring forth to thee. That's the wicked. And he said, but you shall eat the herb of the field. What do this mean? Let's go to Genesis chapter 49. What is this that we're supposed to eat from? Genesis chapter 49. And I'm adding this into that, this scripture right now. So bear with me. I'm going there now. Genesis 49 and verse 9. When you receive it, read.
Genesis 49:9 reads, Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, thou art gone up. He stooped down, he crouched as a lion, as an old lion, who shall rouse him up. 10. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come.
No. Forgive me. Wrong verse. Wrong blessing. Wrong blessing, right? Go to Genesis chapter 27. Genesis chapter 27. And like I said, I'm adding this. I'm ad-libbing at this point. This just came to me. I probably should have had this written down. But this is what he said to Jacob. Listen at this conversation. And he said this. Genesis 27 and 27 and, in fact, 26. And when you receive it, read. Now, this is actually Isaac in the place of the father. This is Isaac in the place of the father blessing his son, which would be Jesus. He's blessing him. Some of us call him Yahshua and things like that. That's between you and God. I'm inside the King James Version, so I'm going to stay there. So it said he's blessing Jesus at this point. Amen? So when you receive it, read 27, 26, and continue.
Genesis 27, verse 26 reads, and his father Isaac said unto him, come near now and kiss me, my son. And he came near and kissed him. And he smelled the smell of his raiment and blessed him and said, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field which the Lord hath blessed.
This is Jesus coming from off the earth on the first resurrection. He smelled like what? The earth, because he just left the planet. God, the Father, haven't been on the planet since the third day. Continue.
Amen. 28. Therefore God give thee of the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn and wine. Thus the people serve thee and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren and let thy mother's son bow down to thee. Curse be everyone that curses thee and bless be he that blesses thee.
So he said this. He said, thou hast the dew of heaven on him. And he said, in the smell of the field. And he said, this in the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn. And that's not scripture I'm looking for. It has to be Daniel 7. Amen. Let's go into Daniel 7. Go to Daniel 7. Bear with me. Daniel 7, because I'm ad-libbing. Please forgive me. Daniel 7, because we're dealing with this dew of the field. Daniel 7, this is God. Daniel 7 in verse 8.
Daniel 7 in verse 8 reads, I consider that horn, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the...
That would be whoever's coming up to stand. That's the Antichrist. Continue. Or the false prophet. Continue.
And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man and a mouth speaking great things. I beheld, forgive me, till the thorns were cast down and the ancient of days did sit, whose garment was white as snow and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands, thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened.
Brothers and sisters, Jesus isn't coming back looking like he 5,000 million years old, and the Father isn't coming back looking like he's 5,000 years old. He's going to come back looking like he's 33. And so is the Father. That's that conversation. That's that thing. They're going to have the dew of their youth upon them. This is this thing. Amen. So let's go back to that Genesis and watch this. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 8. No. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 18.
Genesis chapter 3 and verse 18 reads, thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth.
That's the wicked. Continue. So the wicked is going to come out of the earth as well. Read on.
And thou shalt eat the herb of the field.
The righteous. Read on.
In the sweat of thy face shall...
Yes, because it ain't going to be easy. You got to survive among the righteous from getting plucked into the fire with them. Read on.
In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return into the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and into dust shall thou return.
Stop. Thus thou art, man. We came out of the earth. But then he said the woman, the earth, which is referred to as a woman, he said unto her, dust shall thou return. You got the earth. If he don't speak this in existence right here, there's no such thing as the first resurrection. He had to speak this to the earth, that the dust of the earth had to give up the dead right there. He said, unto the dust thou shall return. This is two conversations here. He said this. Let me reiterate it. He said, in the sweat of thy face shall thou eat bread, and thou shalt return unto the ground, buried, right, in the dirt. And then he said, for out of this was thou taken, Adam. And then he said this, and unto dust, now he's speaking to the earth, shall thou, Adam, return. Here come the first resurrection. He had to speak. Here come the resurrection, period, whether it be the first or the second. Everything that went into the dust of man has got to come out. There it is. That's why the woman, the earth, had to give up her slain, because this law was spoken in existence. It had to be brought forward. Why? Because the earth has to give up the dead. What do you mean? Not only is it that it's going to give birth to children, but it's also going to give birth to the dead. Listen to Aaron. Aaron said this too. Let's go into Numbers, right? Let's go to Numbers chapter 13, if I'm not mistaken. Numbers chapter 13. I'm living again. Numbers 12. And listen to Aaron. And he said this, because they had just got through sinning against Moses, right? And God came down personally to check Aaron and Miriam. But listen at Aaron's conversation concerning Miriam once God put his hand on her. Listen at this. Numbers 12 and verse 7. No, Numbers 12 and verse 9. And when you receive it, read.
Numbers 12 and 9 read, "And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. And the cloud departed from off the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. And Aaron said unto Moses, Alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not the sin upon us,
yes,
wherein we have done foolishly, and wherein we have sinned. Let her not be as one dead."
Let her not remain in the ground in the first resurrection. This is Aaron. Listen to him plead for God, for her. This is how we're supposed to plead for a God for our families. Amen. Read on.
Amen. Verse 12. "Let her not be as one dead, of whom the flesh is half consumed when he cometh out of his mother's womb."
See, Israel, when we come out of our mother womb, we got to look at our ears to see what color we're going to be, whether we're going to be light skin or dark skin, you know, how deep our pigmentation is going to be. So when we pick up the baby, it look like this, right? So we look at the child, we look at the tip of their ears, and we say, oh, this baby going to be dark skinned. Or we'll say this, we'll say, oh, this baby is going to be brown skinned, or this baby is going to be light skinned because of the pigmentation is on the ears. But what do you mean? Because of the flesh, of the color of the flesh of the child coming forth of a woman after being in the water. All of us know that if we've been in the water far too long, we become very, very pale. That's including us, me, myself. If I've been in water just sitting there just soaking and just, or just fell asleep in there. You know what I mean? When I come out the water, my skin texture isn't what you see. It's going to be pellish. This is that thing. This is what he's talking about. This is coming out of the water. This is those things that come forth of the earth. Let's get back to the precept. Let's go into, so he said, unto dust thou art, and unto dust, he said, thou shall return. Let's go into Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 5. And he said this in Proverbs, right? Because he said, thorn and thistles are coming up, right? So Proverbs chapter 22, verse 5, when you receive it, read.
Proverbs 22:5 reads, thorns and snares are in the way of the poor.
See that? He said thorns and thistles are going to come forth for you. He said thorns and snares are the way of the froward. The froward are those who refuse to listen to God. You can't tell them nothing. They're not listening to God. They're not listening at the instructions. They don't care. They don't believe in nothing that God has to say to them. All they believe in what they want to say and be. This is the fraud. You can't control them. They refuse to be controlled. They refuse to adhere to those things that belong unto God. This is them. He said they coming out of Adam, and here they are. Let's look at this a little further. Let's go into Matthew chapter 13 and 24. Matthew 13 and 24, when you receive it, read.
Amen. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 24 reads, "Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which soweth good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also."
That's what he said that was coming out of Adam. That's him. He the one that told Adam that, look, thorns and thistles is coming out of you. thorns and tares and snares is going to come forth in you because sin is now in your members. Sin is now there. So therefore, you wondering, hey, look, God, why I got this child? He's so wicked. He's a buzzard. He's wicked. He refused to listen to anything that I'm trying to tell him. He's just wicked. And then you take this child, and God of Israel said, you could take this child, and you could take him to the priest, and the priest would kill him, you know, because they realized that if he's not going to listen to you, he's not going to listen to God. So if he's not listening to you, he don't deserve to be on the planet. If he don't honor his father and mother, he don't deserve to live, period. So this is that conversation. Read on.
Amen. Verse 26.
Yes, ma'am.
Matthew
13.
Which verse? Say?
You left off at verse. I rolled on you.
I have on here.
Okay, skip down to verse 28.
I was at 26. Okay. So 27, or you want to go?
Pick it up at 27.
So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? And he said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servant saith unto him, Well,
the enemy would be the devil. The enemy sowed this in Adam when he caused him to sin through his wife. Now, God said, Satan knew that this was going to take place. So he had to taint. He used that thing that would get to Adam. Adam was good up until Eve was born. Now, created. Born. We could say she was born. Is she born or created? Can we say she was born or created? That's a good question. Was Eve born or created?
What does it say she came from?
She came from Adam.
What does it say? What does it mean?
Out of the rib.
So what does that mean?
He opened him up.
So what does that
and
mean?
He created her from his rib. And so man
she
got
was created.
She was,
wasn't born. She was created.
Okay. All right, go ahead.
Okay, where am I at? So I'm at Matthew 13 and verse 28.
Yeah.
Matthew 13:28 reads, He saith unto them, An enemy have done this. The servant said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? And he said, Nay, least while ye gather up the tares.
No, it don't say she was created.
Okay, hold
it
on.
Says, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam,
hold
and
on.
He
now you're
going to
have me read something else, you're going to go somewhere else.
No, because it didn't say
okay,
created.
So where are we going right now? Don't
Genesis chapter 2
okay,
and 20,
let's go to Genesis,
21.
Hold on. 2, in Jesus' name, and verse what?
21.
We're going to go down to 21.
Yes.
Genesis 2 and 21 states, And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. Verse 22, And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman.
See, it did say she was...
And brought her forth into the man. Made he... So when you make something, what is that to make something? You're creating something.
But he's... Yeah.
She didn't come out. Nobody. She wasn't
but
born.
But she was still born of him.
Oh, my God. So look at this. So we're going to do this. Let's look at the word.
She don't exist unless from him.
Let's look up the word create and born.
Born. Okay, look at the word born first and then created.
Okay. So we're going to go to the definition of born. Born means... Brought forth by...
Let
me read it, Papa.
Okay.
Born means brought forth by birth. Past... It's the verb affair. brought into life by birth, brought into existence.
Brought into what?
The first one says brought into life by birth. The second one, B, says brought into existence.
What she brought into existence?
Brought into existence, created.
Created.
Having,
so born and created is one and the same.
Having from birth a particular quality or talent resulting or arising, the past principle and most passive users of to bear, possessing or appearing to have possessed certain qualities from birth, being at birth.
So she did bear certain qualities that came from Adam. She bear everything that came from Adam, right?
Being at birth.
Except that she had a womb and nipples. I mean, a breast, breastuses.
Brought forth by birth. Number two is possessing from birth the quality, circumstances, or character stated. Three, native to the local, to the local stated. Four, born yesterday. Then nouns. Born, brought into existence, and then it says unborn, not yet brought into existence, born being talented through inherited qualities, born being talented through inherited qualities.
See, it doesn't necessarily mean that she came or through a birth canal. You see that?
Yes.
So it's not as.
I can see that.
Yeah. So was she born or created?
She was born. She was born. From the definitions that I see here.
Yeah, from what we're reading, she was born.
The sentence and definitions say she was born.
She just didn't come through a vagina.
No, she didn't. Neither one
of them. Okay, all right, let's get back to the precept. Wow, that just hit me, man. I'm sorry. I had to stop. Okay, go back to Matthew chapter 13. 13, and where do we leave off at? 36 or 30?
You said go where?
Well, just pick it up at 36.
I just want to read this really quick if I could. It says, okay. You want me to go wherever?
Matthew 13 and 36.
So Matthew 13, I want to go back and go down to 36. It reads, then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field.
See, the God of Israel just don't talk to anybody, and he don't reveal his mysteries to anybody. He do reveal those things to his disciples. Therefore, when you start seeing things or he's talking to you about things that people just don't hear or see, that's a disciple. Not a parakeet. That's a disciple. Read on.
Amen. Verse 37, he answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one.
See, he said of Adam, you're going to bring forth tares, thorns and thistles. That's them. They're the wicked. So why? Because sin has now entered into the world. This is that thing that's coming from out of the earth now. That's why we're not just sitting up here talking about, the fruit of the ground. He said he said eat from the dew of the earth. And he said this, and he said the dew representing the righteous and the tares representing the wicked. So he's talking about both of them. Read on.
Amen. Verse 39. The enemy that sold them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth.
No, go to Isaiah chapter 33, because I think this kind of covered that. Isaiah 33 and Isaiah 33 and pick it up at verse 13. No, 11. Here it is. He's talking about the earth. Listen to what he's saying about the earth and comparing it to us and man. Listen how he's having this conversation pertaining to those things. Once again, we off the cuff and we're dealing with this thing and we're dealing with man versus, you know, when he's talking about the earth giving birth and the earth is giving birth to both the righteous and the wicked. Now it is, thanks to Adam, now is giving birth to both the righteous and the wicked. And we want to keep blaming Adam for every little thing, but we don't want to give Adam for credit for, hey, Michael Jordan can jump 6 feet. You know what I mean? Muhammad Ali can stay in the ring for 15 rounds. Mike Tyson, he got left and right just sick like the flu. Samson was out of control, you know what I mean, with strength and power, you know what I mean? We don't want to get Adam those type of accolades because those things belong to him. And we don't want to get Adam the accolade of that he had the power of healing, prophecy, all those things, miracles, walking on water. Adam could do all of that. If he couldn't do it, then it don't exist in us. Understand that. If Adam couldn't do it, it don't exist in us. Because we all came from Adam. Whether it be good or evil, we all came from Adam. Continue.
Amen.
11, Isaiah 33:10. Yes, ma'am.
Now will I rise, saith the Lord. Now will I be exalted. Now will I lift up myself. 11, ye shall conceive chaff. Ye shall bring forth stubble. Your breath as fire shall devour you.
So not only are the wicked, or God forbid, if we enter into the lake of fire, our very mouths is going to be the fire that burns within us. Not only the outer man, but the inner man also is going to be burning. Continue.
Amen. 12. And the people shall be as the burnings of lime, as thorns cut up shall they be burned in the fire.
That's what he told Adam. He said, thorns and thistles is going to come out of you, and he's going to throw the thorns, the wicked, which happened to be Cain. Yet, the first principle of that, or the first example of that would be Cain and Abel. Cain would be considered a thorn. Abel would be considered a herb or the field. Those that perform righteousness before God, right? And so Cain performed evil before God. He is considered a thorn. That's why he told Cain this, is that you, Cain, will end up in the lake of fire. Why? Because you are now cursed from the earth. Therefore, he told Cain that he will not inherit those things that belong to God. Why? Because he's a thorn. Shalom, Mike. Shalom, Prince. That's my boy, Reuben. And he said this. He said this to Cain. So Adam brought forth thorns and thistles. This is that. So he's telling us that Adam is going to bring forth both the righteous and the wicked. And he told Adam, he said, thorns and thistles are going to come out of you, but you shall eat of the dew of the earth. That would be the righteous. Let's look at this a little further. Now let's go into Genesis chapter 2 and verse 1. Genesis 2 and 1. When you receive it, read.
In Genesis 2 and 1.
Yes, ma'am.
Amen. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 1 reads, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work
which
God created and made. These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, and every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. Interesting.
So now those things that he spoke of in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 10, he said, let the earth bring forth. Now here it is. Those things was in the earth. What do you mean? Because the earth had been covered with what? Revelation chapter 22, verse 1. When you receive it, read. This is why he said these things came forward. Revelation 22 and 1. Yes. In verse 1.
Revelation 22 and 1 reads, and he showed me a pure river of water of life.
That's what covered the earth. That's why the earth had brought forth life, because it was covered with the water of life that he allowed to dissipate from off the earth when he called the earth to come forward. Therefore, when we come out of the womb, we have all of these blessings upon us, and we also have the power of life in us. We have the power of life in us. We can save lives. We can speak life. We can bring forth life. We have the power of life in us because we were covered in the water that was of life. That's why on the fifth day, he gave us what? Plasma, man. He gave us blood. He gave us the birds and the fish of the sea. All of them got blood in it. Dolphins got blood. When a dolphin has another dolphin, it gives blood. That fish come out of that. The dolphin isn't a fish, it's a mammal. When it gives birth to a dolphin, it spits out blood. So on the fifth day, he brought forth what? Blood. Life. That's why he said, you don't drink the blood or eat the blood that's of the beast of the field. Case in point. That's why he had Jesus on the cross in the firmament on the second day, right? In between the seas, one that's on the earth, one that's above the cosmos, right? He was in the firmament. Out of him came forth what? Water and blood, which is a witness. The earth, the water, and the blood is a witness. Case in point. This water, this earth thing is a big, this the water, the earth, light, water, earth. Light, water, earth. Light, water, earth. That's the conversation of God. Light, water, earth. It's on your phone. Look at your phone. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 1, 2, 3. Light, water, earth. 4, light. 5, water. 6, earth. 7, light, Sabbath. 8, circumcision, earth. 9, eternity, water, light, water, earth, light, water, all, right, light, water, earth. Eternity is when New Jerusalem come down to the earth. Okay, I got it. All right, there you go, there you go. Forgive me, I'm speedballing. And then he said this, and then he said this on your phone. When you look at it again, it's right there. Then you got 147. That's on your phone, light, 1, 4, light, 7. Light, 2, water, 5, water, 8, water, blood, 3, earth, 6, earth, 9, earth. It's right there. It's everywhere. It's all around us. But those things that God calls secret things that belong to God, you know, everybody, you know, the Sabbath day is in a secret. Got that, right? Those things that, you know, the God talking about that he says those secret things belong to his servants, those things that belong to God, that's those things that belong to him. You see what I'm saying? Otherwise, all we're doing is parakeeting, you know. Oh, yeah, the Sabbath day is this and the Sabbath day is, and all we're doing is rehashing lessons. If the true and living God is dealing with you, bro, you're going to come up with something that's straight up book and nobody, you know, it's going to be from him. You're going to know it's going to be from him. That's all to it. So we see here that the water bring life, man. So the earth is covered in this water. That's why the baby is inside of what? A bag in a woman's womb that's filled with what? Water. The baby is in the earth waiting on the water to break so that it can come forth of the water as the earth did. There is nothing new under the sun. And those same blessings pertain to the earth, pertain to the child that he or she must bring for fruit, meat for repentance. We ain't got to that yet. We still dealing with this earth coming out of the water, which represents both the planet and us, because this conversation is one. The conversation is one that we actually pay attention to the fact that God has created us. In Genesis chapter 1 and 9, right? No, let me take that back. Genesis chapter 1 and 1, when he created us from heaven. The earth was created from heaven. It was a big ball of fire like the sun. And then he put water on it. And then here come the earth out of the water, right? And when water and the fire hits, which is lava, it brings forth earth, which is the lava. Then once it hit the air, boom, here come the planet. It's coming up out of that. That's us. And guess what's inside of us? Eternity. We got the same heat signature as the earth. We got the same quality as the earth. You know, it says the earth is 70% covered in water. Our bodies is also 70% contained water. Same conversation. We got heat signature that's eternal. You know what I mean? So they could put a heat signature on your house and see how many people in there, because your body is giving forth an eternal flame. Same thing came from the earth. Now watch this. What happens is, once you die, the heat signature grows cold. Same thing with the earth. Once it brings forth and it hit the air, then all of a sudden the earth grows cold. Same thing, same principle. Why are we talking about this? Why are we comparing man with earth? Because man has to bring forth fruit, meat for repentance. Let's go to St. John, Matthew 3. We're going to wrap this up here. Matthew 3, and we're going to read this one, then we're going to go back to Genesis chapter 1. Matthew chapter 3, verse 1. When you receive it, read.
Matthew chapter 3 and verse 1 reads, "In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea."
Light. The word is light, right? One. Read on.
"And saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand."
John the Baptist, light. What is he doing? Baptizing, water. And where was he at? In the wilderness. Light, water, earth. This conversation is playing itself throughout Genesis and Revelations. If you're not listening, if he haven't given those things to you, that is because those things belong to, that's what God called the secret things of God. If he revealed those things to you this day, thank God and continue to thank God that he saw fit for you to receive it. Not for you to steal it, because he talk about us stealing the word of God for gain, not for righteousness. Hold your finger there. Let's read that. Let's get this warning of this. Because we're not rejoicing in the word. We're still in the word of God so we can bring people into admiration of the things that belong to God. You know, like we're some big eyes and this, that, and the other. No, we're not here for that. We're here to bring people to the truth of God, to let people know that the true and living God is consistent and that his word is from Genesis to Revelation. All things consist. He said the word of God is a city that is compacted together. It's compacted. That is to say, from Genesis to Revelation, it is compacted. Jeremiah 23, yes, ma'am. And verse 16. First of all, we're going to talk about who he's talking about, right? 23 and 16, when you receive it, read.
Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 16 reads, thus said the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart, and not out of the mouth of the Lord.
See that? See, these men and women, prophetess too, they come, they speak the word out of their own heart, but they're still words from the righteous to bring you into subjection unto them, to make you think that these things came from them, and they some great people, and they not, they thieves. Listen, read on.
They speak a vision of their own heart and not of the mouth, not out of the mouth of the Lord. 17.
Skip down to 19. We're not dealing with everything that's coming out of them. Skip down to 19.
Okay, 23:19. Behold, a whirlwind of the Lord is gone forth in fury, even a grievous whirlwind. It shall fall grievously upon the head of the wicked.
Great white throne judgment. When he come, he going to come forth as a whirlwind. That's why he said that great white throne is coming in that whirlwind. This on fire. Read on.
The anger of the Lord shall not return until he executed, until he have performed the thoughts of his heart. In the latter days, ye shall consider it perfect.
When you wake up in the second resurrection or the first resurrection, you're going to be 100% literal, period. 100% literal or cerebral. That is to say, we're going to be able to comprehend what the God of Israel is doing completely. Skip down to verse 25 and continue.
25 reads, I have heard what the prophet said, that prophesied lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed.
You got a lot of that going on, even among Israel. Continue.
How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart.
29, continue.
Amen. 29 reads, is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh a rock in pieces?
Continue.
Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, every one, from his
neighbor. See, that's what they do. They steal in the word of God from people, from those that actually God gave it to them, and then try to pretend like God gave it to them. They thieves. They false prophets. They lying before you, and they trying to bring you in the subjection of them, and then turn around and dog the ones that they stole the word of God from. That's them. That's those people. And the God of Israel called them the wicked because it ain't in them to give honor to the prophet. Because the book says prophets are subjection unto the prophet. Daniel said, I understood by books, by reading the book of Jeremiah. He said, I understood by books. He gave honor on the Jeremiah and things like that. And Ezekiel gave honor to them because they was all alive at the same time and the God of Israel was dealing with them at the same time. Daniel was in Babylon Jeremiah was in Judah, and Ezekiel was among the children of Israel. And he said this, and they all was writing books, and they heard the books of each other, and they was reading the books of each other, and they understood what God was doing. And this is why we were in captivity. They got it. They got it. And they talked to people, this is what's going on with us. But no, our brothers today are thieves, selfish, and cowards. They refuse to do the things that's right before man and God. Where are we? Go back to John. Go back to Matthew chapter 3, and let's read this, and then we're going back to that Genesis, because John was the light. He taught the baptism, which is water, and he was in the wilderness, which is the earth. 1, 2, 3. Light, water, earth. That principle never changes. It's always the same. It's going to keep revealing itself throughout the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation if you pay attention to those things. If the word of God is important to you, you will pay attention to those things.
Matthew chapter 3.
Yes, ma'am. Verse 3.
And verse 3 reads, "For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and of a Lethean girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins."
See, people sleep on John, man. He was a Levite. That's three. He's the third child from Jacob. You had Reuben, 1, Simeon, 2, Levi, 3, Judah, 4. What was the job of Levi? To introduce God unto the people, to give the law of God to the people, to give the spirit of forgiveness to the people, to give the service between God and man. So therefore, when Moses gave the law to Levi, they were the intercessors between man and God. That's that conversation. John the Baptist was the intercessor between man and God. He was a Levite. He brought the people before God. He presented them before God as the Levite should. And what do you mean? Look what Levi did. Pay attention to this. Look what Levi did. Continue. Skip down to verse 13 and continue.
Matthew 3, verse 13 reads, "Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan and to John."
Jesus out of the tribe of Judah. The fourth son. Jesus out of the tribe of Judah, the fourth son of Jacob. So Levi introduced God and brought forth Judah. Jacob blessed Judah. Jacob blessed Judah. Levi brought forth Judah. Moses said, "A prophet like unto me." It was Moses that brought forth the baptism. It was Moses that brought forth the baptism of the people to God. It was them. Then he said this. He said, now, here it is. He brought all the people before God and then sprinkled the blood on the people. This is the blood of the covenant. This is this. This is that. Now he brought them before God. Here come Judah. Now here come Judah. Now Judah's going to take the blood, King David, and bring the rest of the people before God. Jesus, here come Judah, now bringing the people to the kingdom. That's why he said the scepter will not depart from Judah. But Levi introduced the people to God. John the Baptist introduced the people to God and brought forth God to God. Take right there. This. Let's go on to, let's go back to Genesis chapter 1. Once again, those are those things that the Lord allows us to call secret things. I guess it ain't a secret anymore, is it, man? Yeah, it is, because if you ain't searching them out, you just repeat them, you're going to mess it up anyway. It ain't going to come out your mouth. It's going to come out all bubbled up. You know, like in the RPI, what's the call of people, RPI people? The resting people, rest in peace. Yeah, it was like the dead. It's like these people was out here catching dead people, putting them back in the ground. But they couldn't talk to the people because whenever they try to express themselves to the people, let them know who they are, they couldn't because it just came out all messed up. They'd be like, I don't get it. Same conversation. So you can take this and you dead as a doorknob and it won't come out your mouth the way it's supposed to because you. God, Israel isn't going to give it to you like that. Got to be careful. Because somebody going to say, where you get that from? Where is that? Research that. And you won't be able to stand on it because you haven't researched it. You're just a parakeet. And I hate to say that word, parakeet, but I've seen it, and I hate that I see it, but it is what it is. Too many of us is teaching the same regurgitated lessons because we're afraid to teach those things that belong to God because we're afraid to lose our place before our peers. I've seen that too. Genesis chapter 1, verse 9, when you receive it, read.
Genesis chapter 1.
I seen a brother, the God of Israel, gave him the circumcision, the eighth day, and all these things. And his elder brother told him that the kingdom of God is coming down on the eighth day while there's flesh in sin. And he left off from what the God of Israel gave him and said, I'm teaching that because he already been kicked off the teaching from the beginning. I was like, whoa, because when he told me that, I went and researched it. And I was like, the numbers add up because numbers don't lie. And I was like, I'm doing my numbers and I'm listening and reading this. And then I came back to him and he said, no, man, I brought this to the elder brother. And he said this and he said that. I'm like, dude, you was right. He's like, no, brother said this. I said, no, man, you was right till this day. All because this dude wanted to be a teacher among his peers, he gave up what God gave him. Don't be that person. Fear no man. The God of Israel prophets had no friends in the word. All they had was the truth. No, all of Israel hated Ezekiel or Jeremiah. They didn't care nothing about that. Ezekiel was among the children of Israel in captivity. He said they hated him too. He said, I'm going to make your head a flint before the people because they're rebellious people. Daniel too? How many times they tried to kill? The whole world tried to kill Daniel. When he said, blow that horn, Nebuchadnezzar said, blow that horn, man. Israel hit the ground. They was worshiping that idol. Daniel and his brothers were like, we ain't having that. We'd rather get thrown in the fire before we bow down to anything that belongs to you, because we believe in the truth. Just because you're Israelite don't mean they believe in the truth. Just because them cats got a 7 or 8 syllable name don't mean they believe in the truth. Genesis 1 and 9, when you receive it, read.
Genesis 1 and 9 reads, and God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place. And let the dry land appear, and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he sea.
Stop saying earth. Stop saying that's an ocean out there. Stop saying it, because ocean isn't in the Bible. Ocean is another word for like Poseidon. Once again, Neptune, Aquaman. Stop saying that. It's no such thing as an ocean. Ocean is a satanic word of an evil spirit that's from the water. It isn't called ocean. It's seas, according to the Bible. Okay? Use that from here on in. I know it's a hard fix. I've been taught to use the word ocean. You got to get rid of that priest, that mindset. Get rid of it. Read on.
Amen.
Look up the word ocean. You ain't got to believe me. Look it up. Read on.
Genesis 1 and 10 reads, and God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called the seed, and God saw it was good.
That's the first time he used the term good. You see that? Because here come the blessings. That's the first time you heard him say, because in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, in Genesis 1, he said the evening and the morning was the first day. And then he said the evening and the morning was the second day. And here it is. On the third day, he called it good, because now here come the fruit. Here come the things that belong to God. Here come the fruit of the trees, the blessings, and all these things that we need for nourishment and stuff like that is coming out of the earth, including us. We got to bring forth fruit. That's what John said, didn't he? He said, bring forth fruit, meat unto repentance. Why? Because we came from the earth. Why? Because John represented Moses. Why? Because Moses was a two. Why? Because Moses brought forth water. What? He turned the water into blood. I was listening. Secret things. Read on.
Amen. Genesis 1 and 11 reads, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so.
That includes the beasts of the field. That's why you don't see a giraffe giving birth to a gorilla. Read on.
Herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind, and God saw that it was good.
Twice he said that. Read on.
In the evening.
So we're not done with this third day. We got a whole lot to cover here. We're going to keep going into this third day, man, because the third day don't just introduce the earth, you know, like the Grand Canyon and stuff like that, like the planet was underwater. It was. The Grand Canyon is a witness that the water was above the water. Mount Everest is a witness that the water was above the water. The earth, the Grand Canyon is a witness. It got layers, and they're talking about, oh, yeah, water was upon the planet like in 4,000 billion years ago. Bruh, I get that, but guess what? The earth is older than 5,000 billion years. I ain't saying the earth was created 6,000 years ago. The earth was created before there was a first day. I can't put a number on that. We only got our instruments that can only go back 4.5 billion years. We want to say that everything was 4.5 billion years. The sun is 4.5 billion years. The cosmos is 4.5 billion years. The earth is 4.5. When, no, all of these things can't be 4.5 billion years. No, your instruments, just like your speedometer, only go as far as it can go. Your jets, your boats, is only can go as fast as it can go. Our instruments, if we had the technology, our boats, our cars, our planes would leave this realm into eternity. We would have the speed of a time machine. Did I say that? We had the speed of light, man. That's time. We ain't there. We on guesstimations. We estimating things. We guessing them. And we bringing God into subjection on our ignorance and teaching people not to fear God when he's still bringing floods on the planet. Amen. So with that being said, hold on to these thoughts, because we're going to get back to these things, because we got to keep bringing food out of the earth, right? So this is like, you know, like a summary of what's coming out of the planet, right? Because we got to deal with all these different things. We got to deal with the fact that water's coming out of the earth is coming out of the earth. You got this coming out of the earth, this coming out of the earth, the trees, the animals, the beasts, and all these type of different things is coming out of the earth. This is a summary, right? Or a glossary, as we want to call it. Some call it indexes. But we're going to go into detail on these things in a bit. So With that being said, we'd like to, you know, speak to our family that's around the world. Amen. So, first and foremost, I want to say to our family, okay, our family that's in the United States, right? We want to say Shabbat Shalom to you, and may the peace of Jesus be upon you and your household in Jesus' name. Our family that's in Canada, Canada is growing, babe. It's really, you got to see this, it's really, really growing. Our family that's in Canada, we want to say Shabbat Shalom to you, peace in the name of Jesus, to you and your houses, in Jesus' name. Our family that's in Algeria, we want to say Shabbat Shalom to you and peace in the name of Jesus, to you and your household. And we want to say our family that's in Egypt, we want to say Shabbat Shalom to you and peace in the name of Jesus, to you and your household. Our family that's in Ethiopia, we want to say Shabbat Shalom to you and peace in the name of Jesus to you and your household. Our family that's in Uganda, we want to say Shabbat Shalom to you and peace in the name of Jesus to you and your household. Our family that's in Kenya, we want to say Shabbat Shalom to you and peace in the name of Jesus to you in your household. Our family that's in Brazil, we want to say Shabbat Shalom to you and peace in the name of Jesus to you and your household. Our family that's in Ireland, we want to say Shabbat Shalom to you and peace in the name of Jesus to you and your household. Our family that's in the United Kingdom, we want to say Shabbat Shalom to you and peace to you and your household. In the name of Jesus. Our family that's in France, we want to say Shabbat Shalom to you and peace to you and your families. In the name of Jesus, to you and your household. Our family that's in Germany, we want to say Shabbat Shalom to you and peace to you and your household. In the name of Jesus. Our family that's in Turkey, we want to say Shabbat Shalom to you and peace to you. In the name of Jesus, to you and your households. Our family that's in India, we want to say Shabbat Shalom to you and peace to you and your household. In the name of Jesus. Our family that's in Myanmar. I know y'all love me because I can't never get that out of my tongue. Y'all just want to hear me say that every week, but I'm going to get it right. Myanmar, our family that's in Burma, God bless you. Shabbat Shalom to you and peace in the name of Jesus to you and your household as well. Our family that's in China, Shabbat Shalom to you, peace in the name of Jesus to you and your household. Our family that's in Vietnam, we want to say Shabbat Shalom to you. Peace in the name of Jesus to you and your household. Our family that's in the Philippines, we want to say Shabbat Shalom to you. Peace to you and your families in the name of Jesus. Our family that's in South Korea is growing up. We want to say Shabbat Shalom to you. Keep that word. Keep spreading it. You know, send links to everybody, amen, in your families. Let them know that we're talking about things that are going to belong to you. The only way you're going to get these things is that we understand how they work. Why would I give you a car and you don't know how to drive it? Why would I give you a mansion and you don't know how to maintain it? We have to understand what he's doing with his creation. And that those things belong to him and those that are going to inherit all things. Peace to you, our family that's in South Korea, in the name of Jesus. Our family that's in Japan, God bless you. I want to say peace to you as well, in the name of Jesus. Our family that's in Russia, we want to say Shabbat Shalom to you and peace to you. In the name of Jesus, and we want to say our family that's in Australia. I want to say Shabbat Shalom to you. Peace to you in the name of Jesus and our family that's in New Zealand. And we're hoping and praying that those things, we heard that it's a big flood out there this day. And we understand that you guys are going through it. So we're praying for peace. And we hope and pray that those things are, that everyone is in a safe place. In the name of Jesus and our family that's in Switzerland. We want to say also peace to you as well. Switzerland is growing, Ma. Peace to you also in Switzerland. God bless you. And in the name of Jesus, I want to just say peace to all of the family. Notice how we can all come to hear one on a Sabbath day, hear the word of God out of all these different countries. And that's what the God of Israel is going to do. It's a house of prayer for all people. That's why we're here. That's why we can sit here. All these different countries, at one point or another, we always in conflict with each other. But he's showing us that it's going to be a time that we all would be at peace with him in the word of God, in the name of Jesus. And, okay, I did do Russia. And once again, you know, say Shabbat Shalom to my world. What's happening, Jew?
Shabbat Shalom. Grace and peace.
Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom, man. Long time no hear or see.
Yeah, I mean, I had a falling away, but I thank God he was able to help me, you know, realize, you know, my trials and tribulations, you know. But I realized that the Lord won't put us through anything that we can't handle.
Say that.
And I'll be as brief as I can. So from what we learned from man on this earth is that they call the thing we came up out of, they call it Mother Earth. You know, and it seems self-explanatory for what I've seen, you know. So like when I was looking at it, you know, and I'll be very brief, you know. So let me go into real briefly. I'll be as brief. So Revelations 22:1 reads, it says, "And he showed me a pure river, a water of life," which is also in Genesis 1. He says, "And he showed me a pure river," pure, because if it's pure, obviously that means it's clean. So anything that's wicked is unclean. It says, "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb," which obviously he gave the throne to the Lamb at the time. It says a lot of things which I can't really say at this time, but okay, I'm gonna skip down to Revelations 22:11. It says, "He that is unjust, let him be unjust still, and he which is filthy, let him be, and he that is righteous, let him be righteous still, and he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie." Amen. Now, you know, this is John talking, you know. "I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify unto you unto these things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David and the bright and morning star." And I'm going to skip to 18. It says, "For
read that 17.
Yes, sir. I'm sorry.
Excuse me.
17 says, and the spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. So based off of that, and I'll be brief, and the spirit and the bride, okay? We know who
the
spirit
is. Read that 17 again.
Right. And the spirit and the bride say, come. This is the end, okay? And the spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. This is us seeking them out. And let him that is athirst come. Dry land. And whosoever will let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto
you. That's what I wanted you to read. I wanted you to read that. That's right. Now read on.
For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in the book.
Bro, that includes the name of Jesus. That includes the word God. Like, we want to change the name of Jesus to Yahshua and Yahweh, or we want to change the name God to Elohim. That's all of that. This book... Don't teach out of this book if you want to use the word Elohim and Yahshua or Yahweh. Go get you one of them copywritten books. This book is public forever. Oh, hey, bro, we down to 50 seconds, man. We got to be out,
man. All right, one more. I got one more, and I'm done. Isaiah 57 and 15 says, for thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, I will dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Beautiful.
Amen.
Reading. Sis Red, you did beautiful reading.
Amen.
God bless you all.
God bless you as well.
Yes, sir. And everybody that stopped in on us, hallelujah. God bless you, your houses, your family, and may you send for many, many unexpected blessings and to you and your houses, man, and favor on that wise. So, Shabbat Shalom, family. Godspeed. Next week, as we go further into the scriptures. Amen.
Amen.
Shalom, Israel.